percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Hey there. Welcome to Wendy's Coffee House. Got your coffee, your tea, Gatorade, whatever it takes. I've discovered, I don't even know what it is. It's like a mandarin orange infusion, and it works great. That's all I can say. And going over the headlines for the week, this is just absolutely incredible. All sorts of stuff. I don't know if you remember, Uri Geller was put in the headlines because when the CIA did that big dump of their files that included all the backstory on the psychic spies that said, yes, he is legit, so quit making fun of him and quit accusing him of being a fraud. Okay, so go away. Well, now, the other part of that, he hasn't been able to talk about. They're supposed to release the Kennedy files. The JFK files, there was some talk about that coming out, and it's been on hold. It isn't out yet. And what he said is his information, because I was following up because there was just an article saying that there's a 15-year lawsuit over the CIA agent as the files are still kind of held up pending release. And Uri says he will talk about what he discovered. He even had a meeting with, I think right afterward with everybody to disclose his findings. Of course, it's all, he says it's deep sixed. Okay. So if they are allowing that information to come out, and he said if it isn't redacted, if it isn't crossed out, if his participation is there, then he will be open to talk about it. And what he has to reveal, he says, might be just a little bit askew from the common line. All right. And it could possibly involve more than one person involved in that shooting. Okay, fine. That was enough to get my interest. Okay, a lot of that out there right now is just in, you know, on the conspiracy scene. Well, that isn't necessarily a conspiracy. Coming from him, when he's been vindicated for doing the psychic spy thing and proving what his abilities are, and they, you know, the people who research him say it's just phenomenal, unbelievable. They didn't think it was possible, and yet he proved it is. The cool thing coming up for the 2020 Olympics, I don't know if you've seen a copy of this or on YouTube a video. It looks really spectacular. They're going to do a fake meteor shower, only real, all right? It's human-engineered shooting stars for the 2020 Olympics. I think they're going to do a test run in 2019. But when you watch this, it really looks like the real thing. Cool idea. I don't know what else they're going to be able to do with that, but that is what's on tap. And then if you're going back to the we don't know what's going on here curious, red mist glow. In the news, they were talking about the red snow and things like that, saying it was mixed from the sand up in the upper atmosphere. The desert was putting sand up there and it tasted sandy. Well, they're saying that it was so far up, maybe if it's the same thing, it was seen at the International Space Station. Don't know if that's true. That's one of those that you kind of have to do your due diligence and see if somebody comes up to debunk it. The one thing you can't debunk is a mermaid who makes $45,000 a year. I had no idea. Okay, well, the tail costs about $3,200. But there you go. And then children everywhere are delighted. Children of all ages are everywhere delighted. There was a little blurb on the mermaid and her livelihood. I think that would be worth maybe a job change or not. And then the UFO news of the week, 365 days of UFOs, a year of alien encounters. Nick Redfern in the archives with that. On March 27th, so basically this week, thereabouts, 2000, a woman, Puerto Rico, said she was working in a grove near the island of a rainforest when she was out picking plantains and heard this deep resonating hum directly above her. She said it was this black triangular-shaped object, maybe 25 to 35 feet in length, hovering, and it was silver, glossy, shiny surface, and then a pencil-thin beam of light shot out at the base, enveloped her in a pink glow. Philip K. Dick talks about the pink experience that he had. I think it helped send him a little bit further over the edge, but and not necessarily in a bad way. Prolifically creative. Anyway, that pink glow, after that, she said she was rooted to the space for like an eternity. And when that went away, after the flood of images showing catastrophe and nuclear destruction all over the planet. She said she saw the image of a large bald head, huge black eyes that looked like an alien face, pretty much like the cover of Whitley Strieber's Communion. All right? So she saw that, and then the triangle flew off, and after that she was interested in environmental issues, and after eating meat for a lifetime, she became a vegetarian, and then there was a sighting in the very same area she was 2 or 3 days later of a chupacabra. And so she thinks they're related, kind of like the UFO-Bigfoot relation. Okay, well, my guest is going to take us further down that rabbit hole. Terry Albright, who was a recent guest for the Kansas MUFON guys, and I thought, my, he has such a story. Terry, does this sound any familiar at all, this UFO sighting I just talked about?
What we've been experiencing since the 1960s, even prior to that.
That to me, the pink light, because I had read Philip K. Dick, the autobiography, where he talks about this experience he had. And
yes.
That seems to be one of the common things, the colors of the lights with these encounters.
Well, the colors of the lights vary. Sometimes they're a red light, an orange light. I've seen green orbs flash across the sky. And to this day, I think about that going, wow, that was very, very strange. And I've looked up other sightings and talked to others who have had sightings of green orbs as well. And so, you know, we don't know exactly what we're looking at when it comes to the lights. That's one of the problems. You have a light in the sky, it's very difficult to ascertain how large that may be or what it may be, if it's a solid object or if it's several objects together. You mentioned the Bigfoot UFO sightings happening together concurrently. Well, Linda Moulton Howe tells a story that actually came from myself and my research partner, Peter Gutilla. I haven't talked to Linda about that yet, but I'm going to one of these days and scold her. I'm going to have to scold her a little bit. The man that told this story to us had walked out of his cabin. I think he was staying at his uncle's cabin or something up in the mountains. And the trees were whooshing back and forth. And he thought, what in the world could that be? As he looked over to his right, he saw a beam of light coming from a round, hard object. Not a light, a round, hard object. And out of that beam of light, or down that beam of light, came what, for all intents and purposes, was a Bigfoot. The Bigfoot walked by him and didn't even pay attention to him, walked off into the woods.
Wow.
Now, for years, the Indians, the Native Americans, have said that the Bigfoot was dropped from shiny moons.
Yeah.
Now, that to me says something, because the Native American always have stories about the things that truly exist around them. And for them to make up a story that doesn't fall in line with their theories of what these creatures may be would be out of character for them, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So we started back in the 1970s talking about this. I ran across an article that I did for the Van Nuys newspaper back in 1975 talking about Bigfoot and UFOs.
Okay. Hold on. Because you're getting into this stuff real quick. We're going to take a break because I want to come back and introduce more of your backstory, so to get everybody up to speed on all the things that you do, because you have pretty much every single finger is in a different pot, okay? You've done a lot of this. A lot of this work for years, so I think people need to know that as part of the story. In the meantime, though, if you're listening, my guest, Terry Albright, and he's got some incredible stories, some incredible experiences to share. But part of this is really about paying attention, putting some dots, you know, together, and finding out some of these things are actually more interrelated than they seem. And for years, we've been saying it's paranormal or UFO or Bigfoot, and it turns out they might be and. And, wow, coming up, my guest, next on Wendy's Coffee House.
This ain't no cakewalk, we run the town for many miles. Now, what's more childish than Twitter beef?
Wendy's Especially Coffee House. You know you really oh, it's the other Wendy with her mixtape. She'd be dangerous. We'd be curious. What is that about? I'm bad at that, but hey, you know.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Okay. We won't grade this, but we will say that that is the new mixtape. It's gone viral. And if you aren't beefing, that's the name of it, we be beefing, then you will be after you've heard that. It's 10 minutes of hip-hop. And it really, some of the lyrics are fun. So I'm not going to do that right now. I want to get back to my guest. My guest, Terry Albright, has had some incredible experiences. Pictures, and one of the Bigfoot thing we got into before the break, how did this start for you?
Well, it started for me when I was in high school, actually. I was interested in this kind of thing for some reason for my entire life. I don't actually know. I suppose it had to do with my mother, who was very intuitive. And she got me involved in looking at things and understanding things that were around me. And I went off on the tangent of UFO because I had heard of Project Blue Book, and I had heard of aliens, and I'd heard of UFOs, and I'd heard of Bigfoot. And of course, Bigfoot didn't really pop into the public eye until around 1967 was the big one, but there were reported sightings earlier than that. And so I was here in Kansas, and I auditioned for a group called the Young Americans, and I ended up going to California with the Young Americans.
That sounds familiar. That sounds real familiar.
Well, yeah, if you've been around for a while, Young Americans, we had a movie out. We've done about every special with Andy Williams and Ed Sullivan, and I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
We've been there. Yeah, that's our group.
How cool. Okay.
There were several auditions every year. I happened to be lucky enough to get in. Anyway, long story short, I ended up in California, and doing music, you have to be involved with other work. And so I took a job with the Naval Undersea Research and Development Center in Pasadena, California.
Wow.
Through Computer Sciences Corporation. And in so doing, I had to get my secret clearance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my early days working with Computer Sciences Corporation and the Navy, I was a courier. I took secret, confidential documents and packets all over the country.
Okay.
I would drive to Nevada. I would drive to areas up North California, China Lake, et cetera, et cetera. And
that's a story in itself.
Well, it's quite interesting. Yeah, I went to some of the places that everyone talks about, the Nellis Range, which everyone calls Area 51.
Yeah.
I was there. I was in other places.
Are the tall whites anywhere near there?
Are what?
The tall whites. Yeah, that's one of the UFO stories, you know, about the tall whites in that area.
Well, there are stories that tall whites work underground at numerous bases around the country.
Oh, not just one. Okay. Okay.
As well as the small grays that we aren't. I mean, there are so many stories out there, it's hard to put it all together and pick out the truth from the lies because there's so much disinformation going on. One thing you need to understand, and everyone needs to understand that it is looking at UFO phenomena or any phenomena that has to do with the quote-unquote paranormal, you are looking at compartmentalized divisions within the government, within the technological world. I can be working next to a man who is working on something similar to what I'm working on, and I will never know what he is doing because it's so compartmentalized that no one can put two and two together. And as you said earlier, I heard you mention connect the dots.
Yeah.
Well, it's difficult to connect those dots because no one knows what the other person is doing.
Intentionally.
Intentionally, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because now, when I have been at Area 51, as most people call it. We call it the Nellis Range, actually. But I have been there when I had to go into the cafeteria. All the blinds were pulled because they were doing some kind of a test outside on the runway that I was not supposed to see.
Okay.
And I would be in there with 30 or 40 other technicians that I knew casually. Of course, I'm so shy, I never talked to anyone. Ha ha.
Oh, I was going to say, wait. Just from reading your bio, you had to have chatted with a few people.
You know, I absolutely talk with anyone, anywhere, at any time. And I get to be friends with people, and they let their guard down. And so I learned probably more than many people that are involved in this crazy thing, because people would invite me to their home for dinner to meet their kids and play music. So I learned a lot about what was going on. If you're familiar with Skunk Works, which is out in Palmdale, California.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I have friends from Skunk Works. I actually knew Ben Rich and Kelly Johnson. I used to teach them how to fly gliders at El Mirage Dry Lake back in the day.
Wow.
And those people have told me stories about taking E.T. home. That we have technology that is so far advanced that we will probably never know exactly what the military-industrial complex has.
Okay, wait. Okay, so they told you they took E.T. home.
They said that they had the capability of taking E.T. home.
Okay.
Now, I know that Jan Harzan of MUFON. I've talked to Jan, and we have fun talking. We go on and on. I'm afraid we have to be stopped. But Jan Harzan walked out with Ben Rich after a meeting one day, and Ben Rich said, "We have the contracts in hand now." But other times, Ben Rich has said, "No, we actually have the capability now." And, you know, Eisenhower had talked about this. Eisenhower supposedly had a meeting at Edwards Air Force Base when he was supposed to be at a dental appointment in Palm Springs, and Stanton Friedman actually called the dentist, and they said, no, he was not there for a dental appointment. He went to Edwards Air Force Base to meet with ETs. That's the story I get. And I know it sounds way out there, but we have been in touch with these other beings from other places since World War II. Project Paperclip. Werner von Braun came over. He was a Nazi. He came over and developed our space program. He developed the V-2 for Germany. He came over here and put us in space. And Werner von Braun said, we are definitely in touch. We had help to get into orbit. We had help to get to the stars. Now, his theory that I don't know if I completely buy is that the next big threat will be the alien threat. And that supposedly, his assistant says that he said that on his deathbed. Well,
okay, wait. You're going to have to explain this because we're going to have to do a break here. But okay, fine. Okay. Leave us hanging.
Okay.
All right. So hold that thought.
Okay.
The alien threat, because we want to know if that's manufactured, you know, as a scare tactic to increase the nuclear buildup. And when all of the stories say that once the nukes and the nuclear, whatever the reactors are set, they can go and they can deactivate them. They can all this, you know, interfere with that. And we're not supposed to do that. So we have to come back and find out more. My guest, Terry Albright.
Okay.
This is a very, very deep rabbit hole. Okay. And once you get in, you have to remember to leave a breadcrumb trail or something to be able to get yourself back out of it. And it's like potato chips. You get one, and you get another one, and before you know it, the whole bag's gone. And then you have to buy about 5 or 6 more bags. All right, so stick around. More of this incredible, fascinating stuff on Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Going to open a few eyes, get you curious, throw out a few clues. A potato chip or a cool ranch Dorito. All right. This stuff, once you get into it and you find out there are things kind of overlap and intermingle and intertwine. Talking about the Bigfoot, the UFO connection, and then when the woman said she saw or there was a sighting reported where she had seen a UFO and been somehow influenced by this pink light, then there was a chupacabra sighting within that same week in the same area. And she said she knew in her mind that the two were connected. With Terry Albright having that Bigfoot history, background, and then also being able to go with that tangential government skunk works knowing and get secret clearance that you were able to go all across the country and deliver envelopes or whatever it was that required secret clearance. Hey, Martel.
And then whenever I went to another place that I had to have a higher clearance for, they would simply hand me a different badge.
Yeah,
I know it sounds odd, but that's exactly what would happen. Area 51 and places like that, I had to have a slightly higher clearance for, but they didn't really care. Once we had my clearance and they knew I was okay, then I could go. If I had to be upgraded momentarily, then they would just hand me a badge to go on to Area 51 or Nellis Range, whatever base I was at.
Okay. Before we got into the break, I had to interrupt you because you were already getting into the story. But
oh, I thought are we still on the break?
No, we're good. We're
good. Okay, fine. Yeah, so, yes. But what you end up discovering in putting all of this together I've been doing this, Stanton Friedman put me together with Bobby Slate, who wrote for Saga UFO Report, Peter Gatilla, who was also writing for that magazine. I wrote for it with them. Stanton Friedman put us together in 1970.
Mm. Okay.
And I actually met Stanton Friedman when I called him, told him I was working for the Navy at Naval Undersea Research and Development Center, and he went, oh, wow, we really have to talk. And so we started talking, and I was put together with the other researchers, and how do you think Stanton Friedman found out about Roswell? We're the ones who led him to that.
Really?
Just
on a side note, he's retiring, so it's like, man, this whole knowledge base, and he's so articulate and so... he's been really influential in getting more people to the table to talk about this, but that was a recent headline that he's retiring.
Well, yes, Stanton, I probably won't say too much, but Stanton has had some health difficulties, had a couple of stents put in his heart, and he's doing much better. I talked to him recently, and he's doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
All of us researchers who have been doing this for so long, my research partner Peter Gatilla has gotten a little bit is a bit under the weather. That's all I'll say about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes it more difficult for me in that I end up doing the shows that I used to do with Peter Gatilla and my CIA buddy Tom Muzilla. I'm not doing. Now I'm doing them mostly by myself because they're under the weather and can't.
Yeah.
This stuff gets to you, you know. It requires more than sitting behind a desk and looking at the computer and getting information. We were in the field nightly.
Okay, and that another question there, because some people who have had contact with the space say that there could be residue, and sometimes, you know, that also would be a health influence. But have you had any experience where you felt like you had been through some place that had been maybe contaminated by something?
Well, we have been in areas where there have been. I was in Delphos, Kansas.
Yes.
And Delphos, Delphos, Kansas, I picked up soil samples for Alan Hynek, and actually, I suppose, I didn't touch it.
Oh, good.
Because I knew... I found out that the mom had touched it, and her fingers went numb.
And they stayed numb, and also on her on her leg.
Yes, on her leg. And I was just recently by there, by the way, and there still is nothing growing in that ring, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yes, that's pretty
amazing.
That is
one of the most amazing stories that I have ever come across. And not only that, since it's, you know, local for us, it's Midwest.
Yeah.
You know, that really has an incredible history and backstory.
Well, you know, Dighton, Kansas was huge all over the Midwest, Missouri, Oklahoma, North and South Dakota. There are so many stories from all over. And unless you go out and look for these stories, you're really not going, the average person is not going to run across these stories every day.
No.
It just doesn't happen. And people, it always tickles me. We always had to have a skeptic on the program, of course. And I did I don't know if you watch Sightings, but I did Sightings. I did Geraldo's Now It Can Be Told. I explained mysteries, mm-hmm. on and on and on. Back in the day when others weren't going out and doing what we were doing, we were putting together these shows.
Yeah.
We basically produced Sightings for Hanley Winkler because nobody had the information. And that's actually a nice segue, that's how I got in touch initially with Dorothy Izett.
Okay, now Dorothy Izett has an incredible story with her 8mm movie camera.
Absolutely. She had purchased that for her husband, and she had been seeing these lights in the sky and seeing them quite regularly. Well, she thought, you know, why don't I try to get some of this on camera? So one night she took her husband's little 8mm camera and went out onto her little porch there in Vancouver, British Columbia, and began filming in the sky when she felt as though there was going to be something occur. Well, she got something on film, but she didn't realize that she had gotten something on film until afterwards when she went through the film frame by frame. And if you know 8mm, you know that's about the size of your little fingernail.
Wow.
The frame is about that. They're so small.
It's been a while,
and
but yes.
I know. Yeah, I think mine is stuck in the basement somewhere in a box.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, and those are traveling through the camera at 1/18th per second per frame. So that is a very, very, very limited amount of time to get something onto each frame.
On, yeah.
But Dorothy would capture on one single frame with no bleed over into the other frames surrounding it an entire explosion of light.
Yeah.
That would sometimes spell out things. One time it spelled out her name.
Wow.
And so we thought this was a very interesting story. So we actually began writing a book, which took us 9 years to write.
Mm-hmm.
About Dorothy Izett and all of her experiences.
Okay, the name of the book. The name of the book.
Oh, it's called Contact with the Beings of Light.
Perfect. Okay, that's the one I linked.
And that's Peter Gotilla and I kind of had a falling apart back in the day over a show that we had done on Sightings about Roosevelt. And so I kind of walked away, even though we were doing so many shows, I kind of went, okay, I can't handle this anymore.
Yeah.
And Peter went ahead and continued on the book, but I had actually made the contact with Dorothy, and I went up with Peter to Dorothy's house, and we experienced the things that Dorothy was experiencing. And believe it or not, this happens all the time when you're around Dorothy Izett.
Okay, hold on. Again, we're going to take a break, because I know exactly how that works. Not everybody has that connection, and when you're around them, you get the privilege of being in their space, in that dimension, that frequency, which is what we're going to talk about in the next break.
Yeah,
frequency.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. Again, my guest, Terry Albright, and we do not have enough hours to cover all of the content, but we're giving it a good, we're just giving a good trial run, okay? This is like the test for the next interview. All right, we'll come back in just a few with Terry Albright on Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO, Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. Terry, I want to tell you something real quick. 20 years ago, I was in Sedona, and I heard this tapping, tapping, tapping. Paranormal tapping, tapping. And I realized it was in sequence. It would do one tap, two tap, three tap. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. This is, and so finally, I would hear it. I was working part-time at a radio station. I would hear it on the in the back, like at the back of the car on the way to work. And so one morning, I put a cassette in, which was fun trying to get that off of the cassette recently. And I thought, well, maybe I can pull this off. And the engineers are going, cassette? Anyway, we worked. And I got it. And I've been listening, and I didn't hear it all through the drive, like 20 minutes. So at the time, I'm saying, well, I guess I didn't get it, at least, you know, not the way I'm used to. And I've got the tape here. I just don't have time to play it. Anyway, I'm hearing that and saying, there's nothing. It's silent, absolutely silent. I didn't hear it. It didn't work today. Darn. And in the back, it's like, tap, 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 tap. I'm like, holy, and I didn't hear it until I played it back. It was on a different frequency. And that's why I wanted to get back with you and Dorothy Izat, because these things happen. And just because the people around us don't always hear it, if you are picking up on something, darn, start figuring out a way to record it, to prove it at least to yourself, if not to anybody else. So there you go. You're with the frequency, and you're being able to see what Dorothy saw. That had to be so cool.
Are of a higher frequency. And we ourselves can bring ourselves to a higher frequency as well, you know. Are
yes.
you still hearing me?
Yes, I
okay.
hear you, and I know exactly.
I didn't hear myself in my earphones. What I have learned through all these many, many, many years of beating about the bush in search of Bigfoot and in search of UFOs and other things that go bump in the night, I have learned that we have to tune in to that frequency. Now, if you listen to Dr. Stephen Greer of the Disclosure Project
right. yeah.
is now doing what we did on our show back in 1995, I think it was, on sightings, where we were shooting laser beams into the sky.
Yeah.
And we were tuning into the frequency of whatever is out there. Now, we don't know exactly what is out there, but we do know that there is contact possible. I've been in touch with people like Barney and Betty Hill.
Yeah.
I've had many a cup of coffee with Barney and Betty. Travis Walton has been a longtime friend. The movie Fire in the Sky was done about Travis Walton.
Mm-hmm.
You know that he was zapped by a UFO and taken on a 4 or 5 day trip. He doesn't like the movie, by the way. I'll put that
yeah.
2 cents worth in.
Yeah. Well, he's changed since that first happened. His whole belief system has switched from originally he was extremely, post-traumatic stress. And then later on he realized they tried to fix him because they probably had damaged him when he was in the proximity of that craft. Now, that's at least
yeah.
how I'm
yeah.
overviewing it, but that's it.
Well, that's kind of what happened. He's changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Travis went through a very traumatic thing, and of course no one believed him.
Yeah.
And Travis has mellowed through the years, and I watch Travis as he ages, and I've known him for so long, and I just pray that he keeps it all together and is able to go on. You know, maybe he probably is on a frequency that a lot of us never get to.
Well, now, after that, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I can tell you that all of us here on this planet, or the majority of us, see our vision is at about 19 hertz. Well, if 19 hertz, anything below 19 hertz is extremely low frequency. Anything above 19 hertz goes into another realm. And you know, the Native Americans have always talked about, well, the other beings are right there beside us. We just cannot see them. They're
yes.
just on another
yes.
frequency.
Yes. And when you have these experiences, you know they're right there. And it's like, darn it, darn it, darn it. What do I do?
And you have to tune into that as best you can on a psychic level.
Yeah.
There has never been a way until now that we can capture these things on film, but I have discovered something.
Oh, okay.
And it's very exciting. I you know, no one quite understands what's going on, I have been experimenting with my frequency generator. Now, just to make a long story short, I discovered that you can find gold remotely using a frequency generator and tuning into the atomic frequency of gold.
Wow.
And thereby, you can find it. I've got my gold to prove it.
That's excellent.
And I actually proved it to the MUFON people. They hid a piece of gold, and I found it multiple times. And they were like, oh, my God, this guy can actually do this. It actually works.
I would have said finders keepers.
Yeah, really.
You don't believe me? Here, I'll prove it.
I went and checked all of the pockets before I left. I said, I want you guys high-grading this gold on me.
Yeah.
But so that frequency, if you know that frequency can do that.
Yes.
I thought to myself, you know, there must be a way that I can tune into this frequency and capture things that I ordinarily wouldn't capture. So one night, Peter Gutillo, myself, and a large group went out to an area where we had had multiple Bigfoot sightings. And by the way, Barry Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International,
mm-hmm.
Well, Barry's a good friend, and Barry decided to go out with us on this night. So we go out, and we took my PV guitar amplifier, hooked my generator into it, and sought a frequency that would allow us to connect with another realm.
Okay.
Well, we took control shots. We took about 50 or 60 control shots without the frequency generator on. There was nothing. We got nothing but trees and rocks and bushes.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, now we're going to try with the frequency generator on. And I tuned it to 7.83 megahertz or whatever I was on that night. I tried several different frequencies.
Got 2 minutes, Terry. 2 minutes.
Okay. And so we found that when turning my frequency generator on and taking a digital photo, we could capture things in the air that were casting a shadow on the ground in our dimension.
Wow.
I have the photographs.
Terry.
And I will.
We're going to have to do another show. We got to do another show. How about April 18th?
No,
are you busy? We're doing another show. You're leaving everybody hanging, okay?
I've always got time for you, Wendy. You know
that.
Okay,
good. Okay, good. This is just too, there's too much here. And this frequency generator, now you've got our attention. And we want pictures. We want proof. We want, this is the show me almost. We're a little like right between. We're on the line here. We're straddling the show me state, okay? And that's just good as it gets.
Probably should get some information out there as how some people can see this on some of my websites or something if you want to.
Yeah, do your website.
Well, we're called Violet Fire Research Group, and we have a page on Facebook for that.
Okay.
If you look at Terry Albright on Twitter, I'm there. Or if you just Google Terry Albright, UFO, Terry Albright Bigfoot, any of that stuff, you're going to find pictures galore. And of course, Dorothy Izat, you can see pictures of her stuff on her website. And you can also catch some of the DVD for free.
Okay, excellent. I'm going to bookmark this on my Wendy's Coffee House blog as well. And Terry, we're going to talk again. All right? Just because there's just no way to cover this in the short time that we have. Are you up for that?
Oh man! Hey, let's go out and watch the skies.
That too. Okay. All right. So Wendy's Coffee House. We got to get out of here. But again, you got the link. Stay curious. Check it out. Do your own due diligence. And we'll be back next time. See ya.